Can we give up a big cheer for God to give us such a beautiful weekend? Isn't that nice? It stopped raining, you stopped building the ark, and now we can enjoy a little bit of sunshine, and we're grateful for that. Well, guys, we're in the third or fourth week of this series called Be Rich, Love, Give, Serve, and you know what? We've been learning something important, and that is being rich is not what you have, it's what you do with what you have. And this week, this came powerfully to me in an unexpected place. Actually, on television, there was an episode of America's Got Talent, and it just really hit me. It's being rich is not what you have; it's what you do with what you have. Check it out.
Hello.
Welcome to America's Got Talent. What's your name?
I'm Cody.
Hi, Cody.
I'm Cody Lee.
How old are you?
I am 22 years old.
Yeah.
Who are you, miss? Who are you?
I'm Mom.
Oh,
I'm
hi,
Tina
Mom.
Lee.
Hi, Tina. How are you?
So, what are you going to do here for us today?
I'm going to sing a song for you on the piano.
I love it. Tina, tell us a little bit about Cody.
Cody is blind and autistic.
Oh. Wow.
We found out that he loved music really early on. He listened and his eyes just went huge. And he started singing. And that's when I was in tears, because that's when I realized, oh my gosh, he's an entertainer. So yeah. Through music and performing, he was able to withstand living in this world, because when you're autistic, it's really hard to do what everybody else does. It actually has saved his life playing music.
Wow.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, we'd love to hear you. Go for it. You ready?
I'm ready.
Go on, Cody. Go on.
In my life and time, I've sung a lot of songs and I made some bad rhymes. I've acted out my life in stages, 10,000 people watching, yeah. We're alone now and I'm singing a song. Over, remember we're together.
Listen, what just happened there was extraordinary. I mean, really extraordinary. I don't know what it's like to live in Cody's world. All I can tell is that you obviously have an amazing relationship, the two of you. And your voice is absolutely fantastic. You have a really beautiful tone. And thank you so much for trusting us on this show. I'm going to remember this moment for the rest of my life.
Thank you. I'm a new judge this season, and I'm also a new mom this year. And congratulations. It's the toughest job I've ever had and the most rewarding job I've ever had. You just want to give your kids the moon, the stars, and the rainbows. And tonight, I'm going to give you something special.
On every mountain, swim every ocean, just to be with you, and fix what I've broken. 'Cause I need you to
Can we cheer for that? Isn't that good stuff? Yeah. Being rich, it's not what you have. It's what you do with what you have. And I saw that, and I saw so many ways, and that's rich. There was that relationship between a mom and a son, and all that she had poured into the life of her son. I just could imagine that. And then there was this young man who certainly has had his share of difficulties and challenges, and yet he has a gift, and he's taken that and developed that. That's what he has, and now he's done something with that. And I just think it's an incredible picture of what we've been talking about, of what real riches are. It's not what you have, but what you do with what you have, and that is a life that is rich. So today I want to talk about breakthroughs. Breakthroughs in generosity. You know, in the scriptures, people are not considered rich people because of their salaries or their net worth or their possessions or their perks, the square footage of their homes, or the quantities in their 401ks. In fact, in scripture, riches are not so much the quantities you have, but the qualities that you have. And we've been learning about that over the last 3 or 4 weeks, and it all sounds good, but practically, how do you get there? How do you push through to the next chapter, to the next season, to the next level in terms of true riches? Well, it is going to require some breakthroughs. I'm going to give you 5 breakthroughs today, and it's ones that we need to experience in order to understand what Scripture is talking about as having a life that is truly rich. Here's breakthrough number one. You can write this down. Breakthrough number one is we learn to trust the giver instead of the gifts. We learn to trust God, who is the provider of all these things, instead of the gifts that he has, and putting our hope and our focus in them. And we've been learning this through a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to his kind of right-hand guy, Timothy, 2,000 years ago in the New Testament, in a letter called 1 Timothy. Come with me to chapter 6, verse 17. We've seen these verses already, just reminding you of this. Instruct those who are rich in this present age not to be arrogant or to set their hope on the uncertainty of wealth, but on God, who richly provides us with all things to enjoy. So we've learned we are rich in this world. Remember, we take a poll here real quick. How many of you have more than 3 sets of clothing, like 3 outfits, all right, yeah? Okay, great. How many of you have extra food at your house beyond today? Yeah, okay. How many of you have a operational furnace? How many of you have, like, maybe air conditioning even? Wow, okay. How many of you could find a doctor to go to if you were sick? Okay, yeah, wow. How many of you own a car? You people are rich. You're incredibly rich compared to the rest of the world. And we learned this. You know what? If you make $37,000 a year, compared to the rest of the world, you're in the 4% richest people on earth. And if you break through to the $48,000 level, you're now in the upper 1% of the world's wealthiest people. Congratulations. Congratulations to you. And you know what? Sometimes it's hard to get your head around that because we live in America and we're used to that. This is not normal. This is not where most people live. In fact, a father was telling me his son, his teenage son, turned to him and says, "Is that really true?" And I looked it up even more. I keep looking for more stats on this. I learned this week that median, not income, but median net worth, that's another way to measure wealth. Median net worth of the average American is 15 times that of any, of those who live in Africa. 15 times greater net worth. Compared to India, compared to China, 9 or 10 times. And between those three places, China, India, and the continent of Africa, that's what? That's 50% of the world's population. So the median American net worth is 10 to 15 times already half the population of the world. 10 to 15 times greater. Now I share all that, so what? So everybody here will feel guilty, right? No. So everybody here will feel grateful, because grateful people are grateful to the God who provided them with those blessings. And he even says here, not to be arrogant, not think, well, this is all for me and for me to enjoy and I earned it. No, God's a provider. He's the one who did that. Or to set their hope on the uncertainty of wealth, like that's where I'm going to get my contentment, that's where I'm going to get my joy. No, it's not in the stuff. It's in the God who provided it. He says, put your hope in God who richly provides us with all things to what? Feel guilty about. No, to enjoy. He gives us these things so that we can enjoy them. Nothing wrong with that at all. And I'm grateful to live in a land that is so productive and have been so blessed. It's incredible. But don't put your hope there. So we've learned, I'll not trust in riches, but in him who richly provides. I will believe that God does want me to enjoy my life, and it's not what I have, but what I do with what I have. That's breakthrough number two. So write that down. It's not what I have, but what I do with what I have. We've covered this in great detail. How do you do that? How do you do something with what you have? Well, he tells Timothy, instruct them to do what is good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and willing to share. And Pastor Brandon last weekend did a fantastic job of unpacking this verse. He said, in summary, know what is good, instruct them about this, do what is good, all those commands you just saw, and be good at it. Really excel in this area. And we looked at it, being doing what is good, being rich in good works, being generous, willing to share. And you know what? Valley Church has been all about that for 29 years. And we're coming up a week from now. Actually, Saturday is the beginning of Love You Des Moines Days, because we love our community. And we want our community to know the love of God. And the way they're going to see the love of God is through the people of God who are aggressive about loving them and doing good works and making an impact and a difference. So if you could, just for a second here, take out that insert. It's a big one this week. It looks like this. There's actually two of them. One of them is a list of like all these 100-plus free activities. I am so excited and pumped for this. I gotta tell you something, guys. I'm throwing this in for free. Guys, yesterday I was over at the Valley Community Center, and this weekend is the 6th anniversary of the opening of the Valley Community Center. Can we just cheer for that? That's good stuff. And that happened through the generosity of the people of Valley Church. And just one snapshot, I walked over there yesterday just to see what's happening today. And yesterday at the Valley Community Center, we were blessing our community. God gives us a privilege to do that. And guess what was happening there? We had this United Football League, which is a soccer league. Mostly folks from a Latino background were there playing soccer. Hundreds of people involved. We provide that for them, and then they can use that to have a great soccer tournament and league. That's awesome. God bless you guys for your generosity. And then I walked in to an unexpected thing that I wasn't looking. I didn't know about it. I just walked in there, and there was a reunion happening of the neonatal intensive care unit at Mercy Hospital. And what they had done is welcomed all the kids back who've been in the NICU and over the years, and their parents and their siblings and the doctors and the nurses, and they all just have a great big reunion, and they have this shared experience of some really tough times, but they've come through that, and now they're experiencing and sharing their family together, and they're reconnecting. And a lot of them have known each other and kept in touch all these years, and this is just a celebration. Some of those kids have disabilities, and they're out at Eric's Place, our playground for those with disabilities, and it's just an amazing thing. I mean, I was so grateful that God has given us the opportunity, the privilege to partner with our community and to bless people in our community, because that's what Christians do. That's what the body of Christ is all about. Can we just give thanks to God and cheer for that? That's good stuff, guys. And so we've got 100 plus free activities that are coming up. We're still looking for volunteers. So here's the other one. The other insert is that little sheet that looks like this. And you can volunteer for all sorts of stuff there, but these are some of the high need areas. Look through this, invite people to some of these activities. These are a week from now, so it's go time, guys. It's go time. And then volunteer, we're still looking for volunteers. It takes over 1,000 of us, and we're well on track for that, but we still are looking for more people to jump in and get involved. The garage no sale is coming up, so you'll wanna donate items to that, maybe volunteer to work at that. That's awesome, that's coming up. Just a lot of great things that are happening. And then a mini block party, we're gonna have one in our neighborhood. Just, you know, give away popsicles, whatever, do something. Learn all about that, it's in your worship folder. You can check that out. And then let's just bless and love our community. Why do we do this? We do good works to build goodwill, to have opportunities to share the good news of Jesus, and to point people to the love of God in Jesus Christ. And what happens when you do that? When you give of your energy, your time, your abilities, your money, what happens? He says, you store up treasure for ourselves as a good foundation for the coming age so that they may take hold of what is truly life. Now you really start to live. When you see you're giving yourself away for the sake of others, that's real life. That's riches. And you're actually storing up treasure. He says, you guys, he wants you stockpile treasures. Accumulate treasures. That's what he says, storing up treasure for yourself. You see, this Bible doesn't say not to do that. It's not telling you not to stockpile treasures, because everybody is trying to stockpile treasures. It's not whether or not you stockpile treasures, it's what kind of treasures are you stockpiling. And he's saying, stockpile the treasures of your life that you'll remember when you're about ready to leave this world. When you look back on your life, the course of your life, and you'll look back and you won't care about the make of your car or the exact square footage of your home. You're gonna care about the relationships. You're gonna care about the influence. You're gonna care about the impact, the difference you made in other people's lives by giving of yourself away to others. That's what you're gonna remember. Those are the treasures you wanna stockpile, and those you take to heaven with you. The impact of those will last for all eternity. That is amazing. He has this amazing plan for us. He says it's truly life. But when we think about giving our lives away, and why do we do that? Because that's what Jesus did, right? He gave his life so that we could be set free, so that we could be forgiven. And so we trust in him for salvation and forgiveness. But then he calls upon us to walk in his steps and give our lives away for the sake of others. That's just what Jesus did. But when we think about that, we get scared sometimes. We're like, what if I'm too generous? Will I run out? Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, don't worry about your life, your food, your clothing, what you'll eat, your drink, or wear. I got you covered. He says, your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. But you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be provided for you as well. You're going to be okay. Say it with me. If I seek first the kingdom, I'm going to be okay. Say it. If I seek first the kingdom, I'm going to be okay. One more time. If I seek first the kingdom, I'm going to be okay. Or as in the words of that great group of theologians called the Swedish House Mafia said, my father said, don't you worry, child. As heaven's got a plan for you. Don't you worry now. Yeah. Even the Swedish House Mafia knows this is true. Okay, breakthrough number 3. Identify where you are now and pursue the next chapter in your generosity. Identify where you are now. Now, I want you to listen carefully for the next few minutes about what I'm going to share next. No matter where you are spiritually, we're not going to take up, at the end of the service, we take up our regular offering. We're not going to take up an extra offering. We're not going to put pressure on you or anything like this. Now, in the tradition that I grew up in, here at Valley Church, what do? We pass the blue bag, the velvet sock or whatever it is, okay? We send it down the aisle, right? And you know, that's what we do. In my tradition that I grew up in, we had baskets, wire baskets on long poles, okay? And they would go like that down the aisle. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay, some of you know it. It's long poles. And there was a guy in our church, I think his name was Bob. And Bob, he put it down the aisle. He did this every week. It's like, and sometimes I saw him do this on several occasions. He put the basket in front of you, and if you didn't give enough, he'd hit you on the head with the basket and stick it in front of you. We are not going to do that at Valley Church. We do not resort to that. If it doesn't work. And if it did, we would certainly do it. No, just kidding. So the breakthrough is, go to the next chapter of your life. So here's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled, he says, you're growing in all these areas. He goes, I got one more area I suggest you grow in. See that you also excel in this grace of giving. That's another area of your life. You don't stop growing there. I remember when I was a kid, you know, my parents would give me a quarter or something, I'd put in the offering. And then I got a job delivering papers, and I put in a dollar, and then I made some more money, and it was high school, and maybe put in a $5 bill. And every once in a while, when I was like super feeling super generous, it was like Christmas Eve or something, I put in a 20. And I'm like looking around expecting the band to strike up, you know, oh, when the saints go marching in, you know, that never did, but that's what I expected. I had no clue about excelling in the grace of giving. I didn't know squat about this. I had to learn. So here are the four stages. We talk about this at Valley from time to time. First one is emerging generosity. You're doing something. You're giving. You're contributing. You're not just a giver. You're not just a taker. You're a giver. You contribute. That's awesome. That's where you start. We learn from Jesus. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Yeah, you're learning the blessing of that. It feels good. You make a difference. It's more blessed to give than to receive. The next level is first fruits. 1 Corinthians 16:2. First fruits, generosity. 1 Corinthians says it this way. On the first day of every week, so make it a pattern, regular, each one of you, that's everybody, should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. So what? So we set it aside ahead of time. It's not what we have left over. We give God first fruits. It's like this first portion belongs to him. And it's a proportional amount. It's in keeping with our income. So it's a certain percentage of our income. We plan this out. We actually set it aside, all right? That's first fruits. And so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. There's no crisis. There's no problems. It's just the way it goes. And God provides through his people that way. And Christians have been doing this for centuries on the first day of the week, setting aside and receiving these things, okay? That's what they've been doing. Okay, the next level is courageous. After people have set aside their first fruits, then there's a courageous giving. So you do your regular giving, but then God opens up an opportunity and your heart is pulled toward that because someone's going on mission or somebody has a need that you see you could meet or whatever it might be, and you respond to that, but it takes a step of faith. There's some courage involved because you weren't planning on this. That's that courageous giving. And then the last level is the boundless generosity. And that's when all the barriers are down. You're not only responding, you're actually actively seeking opportunities to be generous. Jesus, we learn of a story in his life in Luke chapter 21. He looked up, Jesus did, and saw the rich dropping their offerings into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow dropping in two tiny coins. Truly I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For all these people have put their gifts out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, has put in all she had to live on. In other words, Jesus said, I'm not really impressed by the number of zeros after the gift, because that was out of their surplus. But this woman sacrificed more than anyone. It's the percentage, it's that sacrificial nature of it that was so striking to her. She had put no boundaries at all. She was boundlessly generous. Breakthrough number four, we always start by giving our first fruits to the Lord. This one is the most important breakthrough of them all. It's when we, and a lot of people never get to this point. They never set aside a sum and saying, in keeping with their income, this percentage, we're going to set that aside from the first place. Back to 1 Corinthians 16, right? What does he say? On the first day of every week, that sounds regular. It's regular as you're paid, whatever. Set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. So it's a pattern, and it's in keeping with your income. It's proportional. So let's put down a few P's here, all right? It's a priority. It's not something you think of doing afterwards after you pay all your bills. It's something you set aside from the beginning to give to God. Some people see themselves as the provider and give leftovers to God. But others see God as a provider and give him the first fruits. They honor him and they said, this is what I want to do first. The second is a percentage. The median income in the United States is $50,000. And Americans give an average of 6% to charity. They do this spontaneously. There's no plan at all for most of them. They just add it up all at the end of the year, and that's what it is. Here's something sad. The more Americans make, the less percentage they give to God and to others. That's really strange, and that's really sad. They're actually more wealthy, and they give less of a percentage. So what I want to encourage you to do today, as you think about this in this coming week, pre-decide that you're going to do this, and then pre-decide this is the percentage I'm going to set aside for God. And traditionally, historically, and in both the Old and New Testaments, there's been a precedent of setting aside a tenth of what God has provided for us, called a tithe or a tenth. That's not a law, it's not a rule, but it's a good guideline that lots of Christians through the centuries, young, old, rich, poor, have practiced. But you, in your own heart, pray about that this week, all right? And then the last P is progressive. In other words, don't just stop there. Over time, seek to grow in your generosity. Look for more opportunities. You don't say in any other area of your life, I'm done. Like, I've learned all the patience I need to learn. I'm done being patient. Or I've learned how to love people. I'm done being, you know. No, we all grow in all these areas. He says, excel in the grace of generosity as well. Okay? And then breakthrough number five is generosity is a very practical step of faith. It does take faith. Now, anytime we have a conversation like this at church, and we do from time to time, you know, we get two different reactions. I mean, some people, you know, we're really excited on the one hand. We want to do that. That sounds great. And yet it's scary. It's kind of scary, all right? So it's kind of like this video I saw of this mother who was blowing her nose in front of her child, her baby, and the baby could not decide how to react to that blowing her nose. Check it out. Like today, you know, you're like, yeah, it's great, it's awesome. Oh, okay. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him, and he will make your path straight. Some of you have heard this verse. It's a great refrigerator verse. It's a great mirror verse. It's an awesome verse. It's a life verse. It's amazing. We believe in it. It's so inspirational. I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart. Yes! We're just so pumped by reading that. That's the word. And then Solomon has the audacity to tell us how this practically gets lived out in the next few verses. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops, then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. So Solomon says, so how do you trust in the Lord with all your heart and not lean on your own understanding? Well, first thing you do is set aside the first fruits of everything you earn, and the brake lights go on whoa. He says, no, you can trust him. He says, I'm going to take care of you. I think the reason why people hit the brakes is because it's not greed, it's fear. Deep down, most Christ followers want to give first fruits. They want to honor God. They want to make an impact. But what if I give away too much? What if I don't have enough to live on? What if there's a downturn? What if? And my job as a pastor is to encourage you and equip people to grow in their faith. Now, I realize the fact that I'm a pastor may cause some of you to question my motives. I get it. It kind of reminds me of a story I heard of two guys. They were shipwrecked on a deserted island. And the minute they got on the island, they saw there was no water or food. And one of the guys starts screaming and yelling, "We're going to die! We're going to die! There's no food! There's no water! We're going to die!" The second man was propped up against a palm tree, just calmly enjoying the breeze. And it was driving the other guy crazy. "Don't you understand? We're going to die. We're going to die." The second man replied, "You don't understand. I make $100,000 a week." The other guy says, "Well, what difference does that make? That's not going to help you. There's no water here. There's no food. We're all going to die." The second man answered, "You just don't get it. I make $100,000 a week. And I tithe 10% on that $100,000 a week. I guarantee you, my pastor will find me." All right? And some of us have had bad experiences with churches and so forth. I get it. That's why for the offering today, I want you to do whatever you plan to do today as normal. But I want you to think about it this week, pray about it this week. And then however God leads you next week, you adjust accordingly. And thank God for the many generous people here at Valley Church. I mean, everything you see happens because of the incredible generosity. That's one of our four core values, is boundless generosity. And I've seen it at work for 29 years. It's been amazing. By the way, just a side note, about half of you give online, all right? And so it's kind of weird because the blue bag or the blue sock comes by, and you're like, "I gave online, but nobody knows that." So it's like, you know, are people watching me, you know, whatever. To help you out with that, I want to show you the universal online giving symbol. And that is, when the blue bag comes by, you just do this. You tap twice and then send it on, all right? That's all you got to do. Everybody will get it. Everybody will understand, all right? But we give to a father because he wants us to learn to trust him, and he gets practical about it. We say, "Everything I have is from you, and God wants me to keep in touch with the source of every good thing I have, my Father. He has provided all for me. So instead of spending every last dime on myself, for myself, my things, my needs, my wants, my desires, he asked me to first honor him, remember him, give thanks to him by returning my first fruits to him." Now, he says to honor your father by doing this with your first fruits. When our kids were little, we did this weird thing. And most parents do it. Christmas rolls around, and when our kids were little, we gave them money to buy us gifts. So we gave them money, and then they would go, and we would take them shopping, and they would buy us gifts. Why? Why don't we just buy the gifts for ourselves? We could do that. We've got the money. The reason is because there's something beautiful and holy and transformational when a child receives from his father something that his father has provided to them, and they choose to give it back, a portion of it anyway, back to their dad, to their parents. There's something holy that happens. It's the same way with God. There's something wonderful that when God provides and we return back to him, it bonds us together in a way that nothing else does, because it shows that we trust him. We hesitate, we're afraid. Sometimes. I remember hearing a story about a guy who took his son to McDonald's, and he got, you know, a hamburger or something, and his son got a cheeseburger and fries and a shake and whatever. And anyway, the dad's sitting there eating this, and he did not order fries, so he reaches over and grabs one of his son's fries. And the son says, those are mine. Those are mine. He doesn't realize that his father is the one who bought those fries. He doesn't realize that his father is wealthy enough to go up to the counter and literally bury him in French fries. He doesn't get that. Instead, he thinks his father has done something wrong. But he's learning to trust his dad. Dad's got plenty. We'll go up and get more if we run out. Malachi the prophet says it this way, bring the full tenth into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord of armies. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure. The Bible on a number of occasions says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Hear that quite often. Except on this one occasion, he says, test me in this. It's the one area he invites you to test him in. He says, set aside that first fruits and test me and see if I will not provide for you. Guys, I've been here for 29 years at a church as a pastor. I've been here since 1990. And I've seen so many people respond so generously by giving to the Lord. And in those 29 years, I have never had a single person come to me and said, you know what, Pastor? We honored the Lord with our first fruits. We gave to him. We were generous. And he's failed us. He just has not been faithful. He just let us down. I've not had a single person say that to me in 29 years. And I got to tell you something, guys. When Ruth and I first got married, I got my first pastorate job, and they told us that you would make less money in your first year in the pastorate than you did in seminary. I said, that's not possible. But it was true. In my first church, my total compensation, that include health insurance, everything, the total package was $700 a month. So I made $8,400 a year. And I'm telling you, writing out a tithe check, a tenth, when you're making $700 a month, I know it was 33 years ago, but it was a scary step of faith. 33 years later, take a look at me, guys. Does it look like I'm starving? Does it look like, I'm destitute? No, God's taken care of us. He's been so faithful. And I'm not just talking about financially. He has done so much more in our lives, far more than all we could ask or imagine. I am so blessed with our family, with a new grandson, with an incredible body of believers called Valley Church, with the neighbors and community. Just incredible. I've been so blessed. God is faithful. So I want to show you a little interview I did last night at Saturday Night Worship with a young couple and hear their story just a little bit. So let's meet right now Diego and Liz Diaz. So I met these guys just not all that long ago, about a year ago. And I want you to tell just the folks here just a little bit about your life, okay? So prior to coming to faith in Jesus, and you came to faith in Jesus about 3 or 4 years ago, you were totally unchurched, is that right? I mean, tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up and I always believed in God, but I never went to church or anything like that. If my friends would invite me, I always loved to go, but I never went.
How about you, Diego?
Yeah, I was a little different. I kind of grew up in a Baptist church and we went as a family until I was 12 or 13 and then kind of stopped going. I'm not sure why and hadn't been in a long time after that.
Okay. So you came to faith in Jesus. Tell us just real quick, how did that happen? I mean, it was kind of independent of each other. Liz, why don't you start?
Yeah, so I went to like a leadership conference all the way out in Cincinnati, Ohio, and they had an optional Sunday service there.
So this is just a business, right?
Yeah.
But they had a Sunday service?
Yep, and one of my friends was like, hey, you should come and check it out. It's pretty fun. And so I went and trusted in Christ then.
Wow. So they had a message that really resonated with your heart, and you came to faith in Christ that day. How about you?
I was kind of similar, just shortly after. She had brought me to basically the same scenario, only it was a conference in Omaha. And she had invited me to the Sunday service before, and I kind of didn't want to go. And so I missed one time, and then the second time she kind of said, hey, you should really come. It's very important to me. And when I did, I realized what God could do for me, and it kind of overwhelmed me emotionally. And so that was when I decided to come to Christ and trust in God.
Can we just cheer for that church? That's great stuff, all right? Now, guys, okay, so, but at that point, you weren't married yet, right? Okay, so you did, shortly after coming to faith in Christ, you got married, so tell us just a bit about that.
Yeah, so Diego came to Christ in February, and then that August, he proposed, and then we got married that September.
Wow, okay. So you've been married how long now?
2.5 years.
2.5 years. Wow. And what a journey you've been on. It's been incredible. So you guys were looking for a church home, and you were kind of wandering around a little bit, kind of meandering as new Christians. And there was a strange, unusual, completely God way of bringing you here to Valley Church. And tell us a little bit about that, because it happened almost exactly 1 year ago. Tell us about that, either one of you.
Yeah, so we always like to go out and like network and meet people, and we at this time had just spent a few months after we launched our roofing company, and you guys were hosting a small business night, and we were always looking for things to kind of grow our company and learn about that, and so we came to the small business night over at the Valley Community Center.
So this is actually during Love You Des Moines days, so it's a year ago, so we offered the small business night, you guys came, what else?
Yeah, and we really enjoyed what the speaker talked about and thought it was huge for our business, but not only just our business, we respected his values and what he talked about. So we went and chatted with him after everything was done, and we ended up getting coffee later with him, and he mentioned that he comes to Valley Church and just kind of told us a little bit about the values here, and that's what stuck out the most and why we finally decided that we need to come check this place out.
Excellent. And you've been here ever since. And you guys have gotten involved. Tell us a few of the things that you've been doing here at Valley since you've come. Let's just share a little bit about that.
Yeah, so our very first thing that we got involved in was the Great Pumpkin Party, which I thought was great. And I couldn't believe how much stuff you guys did with that. And then we've volunteered for, we do like door greeting. We've done ushers before. Some of the atrium displays, you might see us out there.
We also did appreciation dinner, which was really exciting to see the leaders of the church, you know, the people on staff get appreciated around here too.
That's awesome. Well, great. Okay, so I want to talk just a little bit about generosity, because you guys, we got together and you told me your story, and what a great story of God brought you from, you know, kind of a crazy background like mine, and you know, just through a lot of twists and turns, and you you just got laid on your heart through some teaching. How did you learn about generosity? How did that all come about?
Well, when we were getting engaged, I guess, we were pretty broke. We had a couple cars, but it was every single one of them was broke down. And we were barely making bills. We didn't know how we were going to pay for a wedding. None of our family were very eager to pitch in a lot, you know, and they helped some, but we had some mentorship at the time that was involved with the business that we worked with, and they taught us about tithing, and they mentioned the verse that you just mentioned where they said in the Bible, it's the only place in the Bible where God says to test him on this, and so our mentors had told us to try it out, test us, and they gave us a lot of information about tithing, and so we tried it out, and we prayed about it, and we talked together about it, and it was kind of miraculous that we from the day of engagement to marriage was like 22 days, and somehow we were able to come up with the money to pay cash for everything for our wedding. We were actually even had some left over, and yeah, go ahead.
So we actually ended up, in that short amount of time, we were able to pay for our wedding, and then we also got to pay for the honeymoon, which was just, it was just like a short trip out to Omaha. But before that, it was like really rough for us to even make bills. And then all of a sudden, we had all this money to pay for a whole wedding and some leftover, and we still made bills with taking time off. So, yeah.
So guys, how have you seen God work? Because, you know,
obviously, you know, there's people that, make more than you do, but God's providing for you. Just share a little bit about what you've seen God do, just in your hearts or whatever you want to share about that.
Yeah, so when I was first learning about tithing, somebody explained it to me, like, that it was, if you gave, we started off with, like, 10%, and so they taught me that that 10% was, like, a fence around your income, so it, like, helped me, like, protect my income, and so it made it easier for me to believe that it would work, or, like, just have something, like, fixed, I guess, to grab onto, and so that's what we started with, and by doing that, it just... has worked out so well, and we haven't struggled with our finances since. We've learned that the more that we give, the more that you receive, and it's just made our life so much easier, not having to worry about finances anymore.
Yeah, and it was, it's not necessarily that we didn't still have struggles and things don't come up, because they do,
right.
But it's very cool to know that you truly can trust in the Lord, and that as long as you continue to serve Him and do right by Him, that He'll take care of you one way or another.
So in your 2.5 years of marriage, you don't have a private jet or anything like this, but God's providing, He's showing up, and He's enabling you to be generous. How has that impacted you to be able to see your generosity make a difference?
It feels really good because, you know, like you said, when with your first year of income was small and tithing on that can be hard. And we thought the same thing when we first started tithing, was we didn't have enough money to start with. How are we going to have enough money after we give money away? And it's really cool now because it changed from the fear of, oh my gosh, I'm giving away this much money, to now it's exciting of how much can I give this time? You know, how much is going out this time? How blessed are we to bless other people?
Yeah.
And it truly fills your heart.
That's awesome. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, I actually, there's a ministry that we give to that's like out of town. And I remember one day I was driving down the road and one of the ladies that they helped at this ministry, got to give me a call and told me how much like it helped her and it changed her life and all that stuff. And it was really cool because it's like, she's like, literally, I don't know what I would have done if you guys wouldn't donate here, you know? So it's really cool seeing what it can do for people.
That's awesome. If you were to give anybody some advice tonight, some counsel, we talked about this. How would you encourage the folks here tonight, Diego?
I would say the verse, I believe it's in Psalms. It says, delight in the Lord and He'll grant you all of your desires, all the desires of your heart. And I think it's definitely come true, and I truly believe that with all my heart, that as long as you live your life like God would say so, and you'll truly be blessed with whatever you desire, things will happen in your favor. And I also think, you know, just to seek more information on tithing. You know, I don't think there's really any wrong way to give, but I would say that there could be better ways to give, so I definitely would advise to seek advice on that.
Mm-hmm. How about you?
Yeah, and I encourage, like, I had a lot of questions when I first started. Like, it all sounded interesting, but I didn't quite understand. I had a lot of questions, and so I just encourage, like, to seek somebody to ask questions or make sure you feel comfortable.
That's awesome. Well, guys, I wanted you to just hear from a young couple who have been married for 2.5 years, and you know what? You started with very little, and God's been faithful. He's been faithful to bring you together in a loving marriage. He's been faithful to enable you to launch your business, your roofing business, and you've seen Him provide on a regular basis, and even enough so that you're able to be more generous with others. And I just think that's just a simple thing. And it's not just the finances. It's the joy that you have. I'm inspired by the love that you have for one another and for the people that I see you love, and your family that you love so much, and the people of Valley Church, the way you're eager to be generous, not just with your finances, but also with your time, with your resources, with your energies. And you're a real blessing to a lot of people here at Valley Church. So can we give a big round of thanksgiving and applause for Diego and Liz? Great job, guys. All right.
Father, we are so grateful. Your word says He who did not spare his own son, yet graciously gave him up for us all, will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? You are a good father, and you love to bless your children. Lord, help us to remember what true riches are. It's not money. It's not as the world measures it. It's not what I have, but what I do with what I have. To honor you, to bless others, and to see a life of impact and love lived out practically. Bless the people, the good people of Valley Church. Thank you for their incredible generosity. And I just pray, Lord, you would knit us all together in love as a church family. Thank you for this day. And all God's people agreed and said,